Brand new tonight, former President Trump has just sent out a statement saying that Mar-a-Lago, his home in the Palm Beaches, is, as he put it, under siege, raided, and occupied by a large group of FBI agents. New reporting tops our news tonight, plus searching for a potential serial killer. I'm Shepard Smith. This is the news on CNBC. Four men ambushed and murdered, all Muslim, all of them shot.
We will not stop until this perpetrator is found and held to justice.
The vehicle of interest and the search for the killer or killers. The Senate passes a massive $750 billion spending bill.
It is going to have huge benefits for Americans.
What it means for the cost of prescriptions, fighting climate change, and the November midterms. China expands its threatening military drills surrounding Taiwan. The retaliation planned by the island as the Pentagon weighs the risk of a Chinese invasion. On the hunt in the Florida Everglades for pythons in the dark of night.
Hear him hissing?
Oh, now I hear him hissing.
Meet the former real estate agent turned pro python hunter. Gabby Petito's family sues a Utah police department for $50 million. President Biden tours Kentucky flooding and promises help. And remembering Olivia Newton-John.
Live from CNBC, the facts, the truth, the news with Shepard Smith.
Well, from the you never know what the day is going to bring file, there's breaking news out of Palm Beach, Florida. Former President Trump says his Mar-a-Lago home there is being raided by the FBI right now. He detailed it in a lengthy post on his social media site. CNBC and NBC News have not confirmed the law enforcement activity. But the former president wrote that a, quote, large group of FBI agents is at his property. He describes it as a siege, calling the raid unannounced. This comes just weeks after NBC News reported that the Justice Department has been investigating the former president's actions as part of its investigation into the events of January 6th and the insurrection at the Capitol. Now, to be clear, we have no indication at this point as to what the nature of this raid entails, but we are working to learn more. We'll get updates as to you as we get them throughout this news hour. But first, the hunt is on for a possible serial killer targeting and gunning down Muslim men on the streets of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Police and now the FBI are investigating these four shooting victims of these four Muslim men just miles apart from one another. The first killing was back in November, and then recently, three deadly shootings in just 2 weeks. Investigators announcing that what could be a break, a major break in the case. They're searching for this car that they say the killer or killers may have used. It's a dark gray or dark silver Volkswagen sedan, possibly a Jetta or a Passat, according to authorities, with four doors and dark tinted windows. Police have not called the killings hate crimes, but Albuquerque's mayor says, in his opinion, the shootings are clearly hate driven.
It's obviously targeting Muslim men, and it's a string of killings that are all related. We know that folks in our community, in the Muslim community especially, they are afraid to even leave their house, especially at night. They're afraid to pray. They're afraid to go to school.
Well, the mayor says the city's doing meal deliveries for families who are too afraid to leave their homes for food. CBC's Valerie Castro on the search for a killer and a community in fear.
Everybody's scared. They say we are not safe anymore. Some people, they already want to leave the city.
Muhammad Ahmadi's brother relaying the sense of fear gripping the Muslim community in Albuquerque. Ahmadi was the first of four Muslim men killed. Albuquerque police say he was found shot in a parking lot last November. Since then, police say 41-year-old Aftab Hussein, 27-year-old Muhammad Afzal Hussein, and 25-year-old Naeem Hussein have been killed. All four victims members of the same mosque, two of the men originally from Pakistan.
From my perspective, and this isn't law enforcement investigation perspective, I think that's coincidental.
Ahmad Assad is president of the Islamic Center. He says attendance has dropped by as much as 50%. Members now too afraid to leave their homes for prayer.
It's broken, devastated. I'm reflective a lot of the community that is disheartened. They feel a sense of helplessness. They're in fear. Their whole world has been flipped upside down.
Albuquerque police say Naeem Hussein was shot Friday. A spokesperson for the community tells NBC News hours before his murder, he'd attended funeral services for two of the victims. Family members say his body was found inside his car in a parking lot.
The friends that saw the body, they said it was a headshot, so I don't know if it was a single shot or if it was multiple shots.
Police and federal law enforcement have stepped up patrols around mosques. President Biden tweeting, "These hateful attacks have no place in America." CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, now offering a $10,000 reward and calling on law enforcement to make an arrest.
Obviously, more needs to be done. The perpetrator of this crime is still at large. And until he, she, or they are brought to justice, there's going to be a lot of unanswered questions.
Investigators say while they are looking at all the possible connections between the victims, they haven't classified this as a hate crime. They say that will come when and if they identify a suspect and motive in these murders. Shep.
Valerie Castro, thanks very much. Well, President Biden's on the verge of what could be a legacy-defining legislative victory. The House, as early as this Friday, is set to vote on the massive spending bill that the Senate passed just yesterday. Democrats call it the Inflation Reduction Act. Republicans say it won't reduce inflation. In fact, Republicans say it will make inflation worse. The bill itself includes hundreds of billions of dollars to address climate change and lower health care costs. It also raises taxes on big corporations. Senate Democrats say the bill lowers the deficit by roughly $300 billion over the next decade. President Biden says the bill would help many Americans.
A whole range of things that are really game changers for ordinary folks. Now, some of it's not going to kick in for a little bit, but it's all good. It's really going to lower the daily. When you sit down at that kitchen table at the end of the month, you'll be able to pay a whole hell of a lot more bills because you're paying less than medical bills.
The bill allows Medicare to negotiate the price of prescription drugs and, importantly, caps insulin costs at $35 a month for seniors on Medicare. The bill extends Affordable Care Act subsidies and provides new incentives for clean energy usage. It also establishes a 15% minimum corporate tax on big companies and adds $80 billion in funding to the IRS so agents can better identify tax cheats. It appears the bill is on the glide path now for passage in the House of Representatives. But some Democrats are not waiting for that final vote. They're already campaigning on the bill ahead of the midterm elections. CNBC senior congressional correspondent Ilan Moy now. Ilan?
Yeah, Shep, selling this bill is going to be just as important as passing it. Democrats want to show they can deliver results when they have control of Washington. Just minutes after Vice President Kamala Harris cast that tie-breaking vote in the Senate on Sunday, the progressive group Move On was out with this ad campaign in three critical states, Nevada, Georgia, and Arizona. Executive Director Rana Epting told me she wanted to go to the heart of the fight.
And we're seeing races that once maybe were hard, they were hard to win for Democrats, they're now in our favor. So we're going to ride the momentum. We're going to continue to talk to voters and do the hard work that it takes to encourage people to come out and vote because our rights and our freedoms are on the line this cycle.
But the opposition has been mobilizing, too. The Arizona Chamber of Commerce secured some last-minute changes in the bill after CEO Danny Seiden and his members got on the phone with home state Senator Kyrsten Sinema during the final negotiations. Ultimately, though, Seiden said he doesn't think the bill will actually reduce inflation, and Democrats are going to have to answer for that at the polls.
When you go to the pump, when you go to the grocery store, when you're living paycheck to paycheck and your rent's gone up 100%, this inflation matters. So if you pass this act that raises taxes on your employers and raises taxes on, other members of, other people upstream, and it does nothing to address the inflation, they'll remember that in November.
Still, a recent survey found that most voters approved of almost all of the bill's priorities. One of the most popular, allowing Medicare to negotiate some drug prices, was 73% in favor. 54% of voters supported the climate spending. Shep, the only provision that didn't get a majority, sending more money to the IRS.
Ilan Moy, live on Capitol Hill. The breaking news now, I want to give you an update to the degree that I can on what's happening right now in Palm Beach County, Florida, where in the Palm Beaches, the former president says his home is under FBI raid. I have the full write-through from the former president, and then we have someone to discuss in just a moment. This is the headline of this is statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th president of the United States. It then begins. These are dark times for our nation, as my beautiful home, Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida, is currently under siege, raided and occupied by a large group of FBI agents. The former president writes, nothing like this has ever happened to a president of the United States before. After working and cooperating with the relevant government agencies, this unannounced raid on my home was not necessary or appropriate. It is prosecutorial misconduct, the weaponization of the justice system, and an attack by the radical left Democrats who desperately don't want me to run for president in 2024, especially based on recent polls, and who will likely do anything to stop Republicans and conservatives in the upcoming midterm elections. Such an assault could only take place in broken third world countries. This is the former president writing this. He goes on, sadly, America has now become one of those countries, corrupt at a level not seen before. They even broke into my safe, the former president writes. What is the difference between this and Watergate, where operatives broke into the Democratic National Committee? Well, here in reverse, Democrats broke into the home of the 45th president of the United States. He goes on, the political persecution of Donald J. Trump has been going on for years. With the now fully debunked Russia hoax scam, impeachment hoax one. Look, it goes on. Mercy. He reports that his home, Mar-a-Lago, as seen on the left hand of your side of your screen just then, is under siege. It sounds as if you believe the former president, the FBI is raiding his mansion. Let's turn to Renato Mariotti, former federal prosecutor. Renato, I mean, I detailed the reporting of NBC News and CNBC over the past couple of weeks that the Justice Department is investigating the activities of January the 6th, that as part of that investigation, not as a target, but that the former president's inner circle, at least, was certainly part of that investigation. We don't know the context of whatever's happening now at Mar-a-Lago. We only know what the former president has said. We've gotten no comment, despite attempts from the FBI. Your thoughts on this as we know it?
Well, we know a few things for sure, Shep. Assuming that it is true, that what the former president is saying is true regarding a raid at Mar-a-Lago, and there have been a number of reports regarding this, it means that a federal judge signed a search warrant, which indicates that the judge believed that there was good reason to believe a crime was committed. That's what probable cause means. And that evidence of that federal crime exists within Mar-a-Lago. The judge had to believe that there was, the good reason to believe evidence existed there. I don't think you need to be a lawyer to know that that is a very serious matter for Donald Trump. If he was my client, I would tell him that he should expect that, you know, not only is he under investigation, but he should expect that charges would be coming down the road. That's usually what that means when I counsel a client regarding that. I will also say that it really suggests to me that the Justice Department believed that they could not obtain the same evidence if they just asked his lawyers for it or they just issued a subpoena for it. That's really significant.
I presume it would stand to reason that the FBI would not, as the former president puts it, raid his home without it's going all the way to the top in Merrick Garland.
That's absolutely right. I think it's clear to me that this was approved at a high level in the Justice Department, almost certainly, in my opinion, the Attorney General. And to me, this also sends the signal that they are not afraid to charge the former president, and they are willing and considering whether to do so.
You know, we are getting nothing from the FBI, which honestly is true to form. The FBI never comments on ongoing investigations. There are times when after a property is raided, if that's the right word, it's the word the former president uses, that the FBI might make some sort of statement acknowledging, if history as a guide, that they have carried out some sort of investigation. But to get details from the FBI would be unusual. To get a something preemptive from the former president, also fairly true to form.
I think that's right. And I have to say that his message is inaccurate. I would say it's misleading.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in there that NBC News right. has previously confirmed is inaccurate. But please go on.
I would just say that it's apparent that a law enforcement executing a search warrant that is signed by a federal judge is very different than Watergate burglars. They're not Democrats. Law enforcement officers are doing so on a nonpartisan basis, and they're doing so with the permission of a federal judge. He has the right to challenge that later, but I think it's an important distinction.
And it's also important to note President Trump, it is a reporting of NBC News, is not inside Mar-a-Lago. He doesn't spend summers in Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago normally shuts down for the summer, and he's normally this time of year at Bedminster. NBC News has confirmed he's not there. But it is important to remember that it was February of this year that the National Archives and Records Administration asked the Justice Department to examine whether former President Trump's handling of White House records violated federal law. That was a story first reported by the Washington Post and then confirmed by NBC News. So there's another area.
Yeah, that's right. And I would just say that it is certainly possible that this is related to the handling of White House records, classified materials. Usually a criminal prosecution wouldn't begin on that basis. Ironically, of course, the former president was calling on his opponent to be investigated for that crime or charged for that crime. I will say that, this could be a number of different matters. We can't be sure exactly what the potential offense is. We'll know more once we see the search warrant, and I expect we'll see that in the upcoming days.
You know, the former president noted, quoting, "They even broke into my safe." You know, if they entered his safe, then they would have had a warrant to do that. You know, one would presume. So if you have a warrant to search the property, the safe or anything else in it is not out of bounds, depending on the details of the warrant itself.
That's right. I mean, obviously, if law enforcement goes beyond the permission they have in a warrant, that can be challenged in court. But I would presume that if the FBI is executing a search warrant and are searching in accordance with that, particularly in a case like this, involving the former president of the United States, I would expect that they would assume that there's going to be litigation of that later on, and they're going to be careful to cross their T's and dot their I's.
So if the FBI is there, he says large number of people from the FBI are there, how long would the FBI be allowed to be on the property? I mean, do they have an unlimited amount of time to search hither and yon for whatever it is they're looking for?
Well, practically speaking, they can be on the property for hours. And that's something that has happened in the past in investigations I was involved in when I was a federal prosecutor. It's not uncommon if, for example, law enforcement is searching a large office complex to take hours doing so and interview many employees and so on. So they could be conducting interviews and gathering evidence over the course of hours. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
I would say this started popping up like on Twitter, I don't know, a half hour ago, maybe a little longer. But it wasn't until the former president sent out this notice that anyone even knew about it. By way of example and to lift the veil a little bit, our big station, our NBC-owned station in South Florida, WTVJ, NBC6 Miami, this isn't a big part of its coverage yet. Our local station in Palm Beach County, PTV in West Palm, has a crew on the way. So the breaking of the news today came from the former president himself. And as a result, he's able to write at least the first draft of the narrative of this.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I actually did see some dribs and drabs on Twitter, as you suggested.
Too, yeah.
I don't.
Nothing confirmable at the time.
I take all of that with a grain of salt until I see it from a confirmed source. But I would believe if the former president is trumpeting a raid on his estate, he would not be doing so unless that was the truth, because otherwise that's quite an admission.
So can you think of other avenues for the FBI to be exploring here? I mean, let's think of the moment. The former president is not wrong that this is somewhat extraordinary. The FBI sent to the at least part-time home, I guess the legal home because he votes in Florida, of a former president is not something I can remember happening. Didn't happen during Nixon that I remember.
Yeah, what's interesting, Shep, is that what I think all the attention has been recently is regarding this fake electors scheme. And, you know, there had been some testimony in the grand jury by some of Vice President Pence's former aides. So it really looked like, you know, the Justice Department's focus on the former president was related to that scheme. It's hard for us to know, but it doesn't appear obvious that records of that scheme or related to that scheme would be at Mar-a-Lago. However, if they have a cooperator might have told them that, you know, he or she had seen records there and, you know, knew that records were there. And generally, if a court has, for example, evidence from a cooperator corroborated in some way, you know, that they saw records there in the recent past, people tend to keep records for a long period of time. And on that basis, sometimes a judge will issue a warrant. So I think we really don't know. There's a lot to learn. But it's a serious matter, and I think that should be apparent to everyone listening to this and watching this, that if your home is searched by the FBI, you're in big trouble.
And to get a warrant on that particular home, they would have to have specifics regarding that particular home, not just some sort of, well, we know their record somewhere, let's go start searching. There would have to be something specific to this time and that place, right?
Well, regarding to that specific property. So what they would have to do is not enough to say, we believe, you know, we have evidence that Shepard Smith is involved in a crime and he lives here. It would have to be that there's evidence they'd have to prove to the judge by what's called good probable cause. It's just to basically give the judge a good reason to believe that you actually keep records in your home that are related to that crime, that would be evidence of that crime. And so here, in order to obtain the search warrant, they didn't just need to say, okay, well, we have this investigation, there's a good reason to believe that Trump has committed a crime. They have to go beyond that. Whether or not Trump was involved in the crime, they have to demonstrate to the judge that evidence of that crime, there's a good reason to believe that evidence of that crime exists at Mar-a-Lago. And so they really need specific, let's say, witness testimony indicating that that person has seen records at Mar-a-Lago, for example, that would be evidence of the particular crime that the feds are investigating.
Renato, you know, over time, we've been able to sometimes at least get a little bit of a peek into the level of the former president's emotions from the statements which he sends out. And I read about half of the statement from earlier because it then seemed like we were getting out of the matter of relevant items. But I'm going to read the rest of it because maybe it'll give our viewers an idea of maybe where his head is right now. We stopped off with the potential targeting at the highest level. Now, here we go. The former president of the United States goes on. Hillary Clinton was allowed to delete and acid wash 33,000 emails after they were subpoenaed by Congress. Absolutely nothing has happened to hold her accountable. She even took antique furniture and other items from the White House. And here's the final paragraph. I stood up to America's bureaucratic corruption. I restored power to the people and truly delivered for our country like we have never seen before. The establishment hate it. Now, as they watch my endorsed candidates win big victories and see my dominance in all the polls, they are trying to stop me and the Republican Party once more. The lawlessness, political persecution, and witch hunt must be exposed and stopped. I will continue to fight for the great American people. Of course, the truth is, the only truth that we know is right now, the FBI obtained a warrant to search his home in Palm Beach, Florida. And according to the former president, that's what they're doing, including in his safe.
That's right. And I would just say that, you know, it appears the former president views our criminal justice system as a political weapon. I do think at times he contributed to that common understanding. That is not my experience when I was a federal prosecutor for almost a decade. It is not my experience now as a defense attorney, and I have been for several years. My experience is that law enforcement, while I often will at times will disagree with what the FBI is doing or the feds are doing if I'm defending a client, they are not doing so for political reasons. And, you know, he can make that an issue of that in court, but there is due process in this country. Unfortunately for Mr. Trump, part of that process is that search warrants can be obtained by law enforcement from federal judges.
And apparently have. Hey, Renato, thanks so much for jumping in on this. I want to get to Capitol Hill, where our senior congressional correspondent, Ilan Moy, is standing by. A lot of questions, anything from the following: the January 6th committee, any members of Congress, anything from the Department of Justice or the FBI?
We are starting to get some early reaction from lawmakers on Capitol Hill, Shep. Remember that Congress is not in Washington right now. Members are at home talking with their constituents, following the news just like we are. But we are seeing some reaction from one Republican congressman, Andy Biggs. He's a member of the Freedom Caucus, and he said that Congress must look into the viability of our federal law enforcement agencies that abuse their authorities for political purposes. And he suggested that these individuals within the FBI and DOJ may be rogue and violating their oath of office by not upholding the law and need to be held more accountable. Now, of course, we do not know what exactly is happening in Mar-a-Lago right now. We do not know what the role of these FBI investigators who are apparently at former President Trump's home might be, but already this is becoming a divisive issue, and already you're seeing his staunch supporters in Congress stand up for him. We know that there are Republicans on the January 6th committee, such as Vice Chair Liz Cheney, who have been saying that the Department of Justice, if it has evidence that suggests that the president, former president, might have committed a crime, that it should investigate and follow that evidence where it leads. The January 6th committee is a legislative body. It does not have criminal investigatory powers, but certainly they've turned up a wealth of information. They are working in partnership with the DOJ to turn over information that might be relevant to their investigation as it's requested. And Liz Cheney saying that the DOJ should move forward if it has the evidence to do so. So we will see and monitor what the reaction from Capitol Hill continues to be. But Shep, one of the challenges for the DOJ in moving forward at this moment in time is that that action could be seen as political. And already we are seeing a political response to what might be a criminal investigation, Shep.
Ilan Moy, thanks very much. The New York Times has now issued a bulletin on this and stating, as we have, that if what the former president is saying is true, that they've executed a raid on his property there and that they have, as he put it, broken into his safe, this would be a dramatic escalation into the criminal investigation surrounding Donald Trump. Quoting from the New York Times now in the bulletin that just came out, the search, according to two people familiar with the investigation, again, this is the reporting of the New York Times. So far, NBC News has not confirmed the following. It appeared to be focused on material that Mr. Trump had brought with him to Mar-a-Lago, his private club and residence, after he left the White House. Remember, there were questions about documents. Those boxes contain many pages of classified documents, according to a person familiar with their contents by the reporting of the New York Times. Mr. Trump, as you may remember, delayed returning 15 boxes of material requested by officials with the National Archives for many months, only doing so when there became a threat of action being taken to retrieve them. Quoting the New York Times, Mr. Trump was known throughout his term to rip up official material that was intended to be held, You may remember this morning's reporting from their own reporter, Maggie Haberman, about the flushing of items in the toilet, notes that he had taken, items that would be covered under the Presidential Records Act. That reporting is in the New York Times today. Quoting now, after working with and cooperating with relevant government agencies, this unannounced raid on my home was not necessary or appropriate. Again, that came from the former president today. He didn't share, as the Times goes on to report, any details about what the FBI agent said they were searching for, but he depicted himself as a victim, as the New York Times puts it, of shadowy forces seeking to damage him. Now, here's some new information. The search took place on Monday morning, the Times reports, according to a person familiar with it, although Mr. Trump claimed agents were still at his house as of the writing of that statement just about a half hour ago. The search, says the Times, was at least in part for whether any records remained at the club, according to the person familiar with the raid. At any rate, the New York Times reports that according to senior officials at the White House, no one at the White House knew anything about any of this until they saw tweets about it online. Of course, as the Time goes on to report, Mr. Trump has been the focus of questions asked by federal prosecutors in connection with a scheme to send fake electors to Congress for the certification of the Electoral College. Donald Ayer is with us now, former Deputy Attorney General in the George W. Bush administration and frequent guest on this program. I meant to say George H.W. Bush administration, Bush 41. Donald, good to see you again. Your top line thoughts on what we're hearing about today.
Well, I think the most significant thing is that we now have a search warrant for the home of Donald Trump. And that isn't something that is done lightly. If you go back in the common law, the main focus of the protection of the warrant was to protect the papers and property of people, and the home is the center of all of that. So this is going right to the heart of what our criminal laws and the warrant requirement is designed to protect. This is not something they would think of doing with a former president, especially if they did not have incredibly significant indications of criminal conduct involved surrounding what's at issue. Now, I don't know anything about the specifics of what's in the warrant, but the very fact that they have now, in a sense, gone public, not in an open way, but by doing what they're doing, serving a warrant and searching the home of the former president, this is now utterly clear that this is an investigation focused significantly on Donald Trump.
I have two new bits of reporting, Donald. It'll only take a second. Stay with me. The first comes from CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. He reached the Justice Department and officials are offering, quote, no comment. That said, Ken Delanian, who's investigative reporter for NBC News, Justice Department correspondent for NBC News, reports the following. A person familiar with the matter tells NBC News that the FBI is not disputing that it carried out the search. We're efforting further confirmation. Again, that from Ken Delanian. And more from the New York Times. Jonathan Martin from the New York Times, correspondent known well here, says, as of this afternoon, senior White House officials found out about the FBI's Mar-a-Lago raid on Twitter and had no notice per the source familiar. So the Justice Department is not pushing back on Donald Trump's general reporting that the FBI searched his home at Mar-a-Lago. I have no recollection of anything like this happening regarding any president or former president in my lifetime.
No, there's not. And of course, the department's behavior here is precisely appropriate. They're not pushing back. They're not commenting. They're not making any announcements. They haven't said a word, it sounds to me like, about this whole process. And that's exactly what they should be doing. Here we have Donald Trump wanting to tweet about the fact that his possible criminality is now the basis of a search of his home. You can't stop him from doing that, but the department is playing it straight, and they're doing exactly what they should. And anybody who has been worried that Merrick Garland or that the Department of Justice is asleep at the switch ought to get over it right now, because they are on the job, and this is a very big deal.
It is worth remembering that the director of the FBI was a Donald Trump appointee who's registered as a Republican, and it is he who signed off on whatever has just happened at Mar-a-Lago.
That's absolutely right. And I think, I mean, the head of the FBI has been, I think, a model citizen all along. He's played it straight as well. And I think we can be pretty proud and pleased with the way our Department of Justice and the FBI is conducting itself now. And I think we have a process underway, and we're going to have to wait and see what comes out of it. But there's obviously a lot that they have in mind right now.
Well, we do know we've reached a new place. We were in a place where all of the president's people from the former president's White House, his inner circle, had been subpoenaed for depositions. We know that many of them have refused to comment. Some of them have claimed executive privilege. Others have come forward. Some people who were in the know, in and around the investigation surrounding January 6th, some of those have testified. We know that some of them have testified for the January 6th committee. We know that some have cooperated with the Justice Department. But nothing has ever gotten close to Donald Trump. We've never heard anything or learned of anything that would amount to they're searching for the records of, or they have entered a property. This is a world we've never seen.
That's right. But I also think that when you think back on all the phases of the congressional hearing investigation and each of the steps along the way and every session of that of those hearings, the focus was on the fact that Donald Trump was the person doing the bad things that were being done. And he was doing it even though his own people were telling him not to do it. So that the predicate here of his own conduct, which we already know about, and then the specific facts, whatever they are, that make them think there is evidence there to be seized with a warrant, it all goes together. And it's all part of a progressive process. And it's now reached the point where the government feels justified, and so does a judge who signed the warrant, feels justified in an unannounced search of the president's home.
We do know through reporting and official channels that the former president took with him documents, 15 boxes of documents from him when he left the White House. That is illegal, going back to Watergate days, because there are now records laws that anything and everything that is produced within the White House, certainly anything that came from the president's pen or anything that crossed the president's desk, has to be preserved in the National Archives at very minimum. You can't take something away with you. And the former president, Donald Trump, said that he did do that. So at very minimum, we see an avenue there for a search at Mar-a-Lago, because at the time it was reported and confirmed that that's the place to which he took them.
Right. Well, Andy, you certainly can't take presidential records. He obviously can take his own personal property, but he can't take presidential records. And obviously that's apparently what's at issue here. And there's been a colloquy back and forth for a while about it. And the reporting that I've heard, and you've accounted here, indicates that's perhaps the focus or a focus of this search warrant. It may be the only focus, but it also may not be the only focus. So I think, you know, we're going to have to wait and see what all comes out of it. Of course, finding things in the course of a search is not always predictable in terms of what you will find. So, you know, when we know what exactly they were looking for, we'll know a fair amount, but we won't necessarily know what all they found and what the limits of possible evidence located are. So that's something else that's we're going to have to await word on.
Donald Ayer, I can't thank you enough for jumping in on no notice. Appreciate your time tonight. And I will say this, those records that we've been following that Donald Trump admitted that he took with him when he left the White House, the New York Times has reporting on this exact matter from just minutes ago. The search, according to two people familiar with the investigation, appeared to be focused on material that Mr. Trump had brought with him to Mar-a-Lago, his private club and residence, after he left the White House. Now, here's an important part. Those boxes contained many pages of classified documents, according to a person familiar with their contents. Renato Mariotti's back with us, former federal prosecutor. Renato, it sounds like this is at least one potential avenue.
Yeah, and I will say that it's very ironic if this reporting is accurate, given that the former president made a central piece of his campaign that he believed that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton should be imprisoned for her alleged mishandling of classified information. It would be actually a fairly parallel charge, although here it would involve actually physically removing classified material and bringing it to another location versus how material was stored on a server.
Right. And, you know, to what level does that rise, removing documents? If the president wrote it, it has to be preserved. To what level does removing classified documents, though, rise, especially when a sitting president can declassify anything?
Well, there's a process for declassification. I guess what I would say, Shep, is that, you know, most likely this is something that if all he did was take documents that, let's say you said he wrote himself or that he reviewed as, you know, as part of his job responsibilities as president, and then just brought those records to Mar-a-Lago and put them in a closet or something like that, or a safe, That is something that would could technically violate the statute, but would ordinarily not be charged by the Justice Department. Usually, the sorts of cases that are charged by the Justice Department involve deliberately transferring the classified material to a third party, as, for example, former General Petraeus did when he transferred classified material to his then mistress. Realistically, you know, that is why James Comey ultimately concluded that he did not believe there was a crime that should be charged in the case of Hillary Clinton. Of course, the irony is that we may see a reversal in position regarding that matter now that former President Trump is under investigation for a somewhat similar activity.
It must be matters that the Justice Department believe are very important classified documents. They must be very important to carry out a raid on a former president's property.
I agree with that, Shep. I think that this is a step you do not take lightly. You have to think, if you're Merrick Garland, that the intention of the world is going to be focused on the execution of this search warrant. And so, he has to be able to defend this, and it has to be something that's going to hold up and ultimately, I think, result in something. In other words, if you execute the search warrant believing that it's not going to result in anything coming out of it, I think that's something that the Justice Department would be wise not to do. So I would think that as a matter of prudence, they would only execute this if they thought that they were going to potentially get evidence of criminal activity from that search.
Renato, again, thank you so much. We're getting reaction now on Capitol Hill. Our senior congressional correspondent, Ilan Moy, with us again. Ilan?
Well, Shep, we're now hearing from some Democrats now who appear to be celebrating this apparent raid of the FBI at Mar-a-Lago. One theme that appears to be emerging is this idea of accountability. We're hearing from Representative Eric Swalwell of California, who said, "We are witnessing the difference between an honest system and a corrupt one. In 2020, Donald Trump brought us dangerously close to a permanently corrupt America. The rule of law is taking shape and accountability is coming." Meanwhile, Representative Pramila Jayapal, who's the head of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, said Donald Trump should be in jail. "I'm glad to see the FBI taking steps toward accountability." And Jerry Nadler, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, who viewers might remember from Donald Trump's first impeachment, responded to these breaking news headlines with just one word: good exclamation point. Now, I have heard back from the White House seeking comment on all of these headlines, Shep. They said that I should reach out to the DOJ instead of the White House. The DOJ, as we know from our colleague Eamon Javers, has no comment on this matter. So we'll see what more we can confirm. But clearly, again, the political divide over this apparent investigation, this apparent raid, is clearly going to be front and center for members of Congress, even when they're at home and outside of Washington.
There's a lot to dig down to as well, because the reporting indicates, at least from the New York Times, that this raid was carried out this morning. Now, it's certainly possible that an FBI raid could last throughout the entirety of a day. I've personally covered FBI raids that have lasted from sunup to sundown. So it certainly is possible. But that would be happening at Mar-a-Lago, even in shutdown season here in the hot days of August, that it would be happening at Mar-a-Lago and it wouldn't leak to anyone until late in the afternoon, and no statement from the former president until, I don't know, 15 minutes before news time, is quite extraordinary.
Well, if there's one thing that we learned from President Trump's tenure in the White House, Shep, is that he is the one who controls the news cycle. He is the one who often was the leaker in many news stories, as we learned from reporting after the fact. So I think what we're seeing here again is the president choosing to release information as he sees fit. He is also someone who is known to hyperbolize at times. So we'll see exactly what the extent of this raid or this occupation of his home might have been, or of the club might have been. But certainly the president knows how to capture headlines.
He certainly does. Ilan Moy live for us tonight. Ilan, thanks so much. Again, let me get to Ken Delanian's report. A person familiar with the matter says the FBI is not disputing that it carried out the search. That's the extent of what we have. So the FBI is not disputing that it carried out this search at Mar-a-Lago. The former president calls it a raid and a siege. Let's turn to Clint Watts, who's good enough to join us now, former FBI special agent and NBC News contributor. The FBI, where you used to work, has apparently carried out a raid at Mar-a-Lago. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, Shep, what's important to remember on this is not something they went to first, meaning whenever you're doing an investigation, you're always building up a case of evidence and you're trying to find the missing pieces of evidence that you think are necessary to go ahead and prosecute a crime, which means this was probably the last stop that they wanted to go to. They thought there was no other way to get needed evidence, and they thought the evidence they needed was in Mar-a-Lago. So this just, I think, points to how serious the case is and where it's gotten to in terms of leads. I think the next part is you got to go to a judge, and you're talking about a former president, and you're trying to put together an actual warrant to do a search warrant here in Mar-a-Lago. It must have been pretty overwhelming for that judge to sign off on it with the former president, to know that it was going to turn into a political firestorm almost immediately. So I think it's quite significant they did this. I would assume they knew exactly where they wanted to go to do the search. I would assume it's not, you know, all over Mar-a-Lago. They were probably looking for some very specific pieces of evidence, would be my guess.
And the judge who would have signed off on this, would that have been someone in that district? Or that, from your experience, how does something like that happen?
Yeah, it depends on where the case is being prosecuted from and what office is the lead office. I would assume that any case involving the president is probably run out of FBI headquarters. That would be my guess. Those are very sensitive cases, and they're
Main
run from
Justice.
There. Main Justice and FBI headquarters. That, they would handle that, and they would keep it very tightly controlled, I would imagine. The FBI director would be informed, I would assume, every single moment and every single day about what the next steps were going to be. In terms of where the warrant was signed, I'm not entirely sure. I would have to get more details on the case to be definitive about it. But my guess would be that Main FBI headquarters and Main Justice are the ones that decided to take this to the next step. And I also would note, Shepard, you know, as soon as I saw this story in my head, I was not surprised that there was a search warrant. But at the same point, I wasn't sure what case it was for. To be honest, there are many cases going on, you know, around the country related to everything from election interference to even financial crimes. So I think we need to be a little bit cautious in terms of what they were hunting for. You know, we actually don't know. We've got cases in Georgia right now for election interference. We've got cases in New York that are still pending one way or another. And then you look at what's been going on with the January 6th committee. I think there's a lot of different directions this could go. So I'm a little bit cautious to even say what they were trying to hunt for, because there's so many different criminal investigations, you know, being conducted at the same time. It will be fascinating to learn more about what they thought they needed that was inside Mar-a-Lago and why they needed to go to that step to get it.
And not just what they thought they needed, what a judge agreed was necessary for the prosecution of this investigation, right? The bar is high under all circumstances. You can't just go searching somebody's property willy-nilly, even regular, common, everyday folks. You have to have specifics of what you want, the reason you want it, and for what end. To do so at the home of the former president, that wasn't a quick meeting with the judge.
No, that's right, Shepard. And that's not all. You have to prove that that's the only way you can get the evidence, meaning that there's no other mechanism by which you could acquire that evidence in order to bring it to trial. That's a way to think about it, that if you're going to bring a case for prosecution, they thought whatever it was they needed, they had to go to Mar-a-Lago to get it. There was no other way to acquire that information. And so I think this is an important point. A lot of people have been pretty hard on the attorney general. FBI cases go on for years on average, many years. And the steps that they've taken seem to be pretty deliberate. Your guest who was on right before me, I didn't catch who it was, but I could hear it. He was exactly right. This has been a pretty meticulous and evolving case. It's been step by step. And this is what you might expect in a criminal investigation, where they go to the next level of intrusiveness in order to garner evidence for the trial, you know, for the prosecution.
Sure.
If they're going to put together an indictment, that means they thought they had to go here and there was no other way to get it. I would remind people that this is very consistent with what we've heard and known of President Trump the entire time he was president, right? He didn't send emails.
Sure.
He would write things down on paper. He would make phone calls. Well, if you're going to get that evidence, it's a very small circle of people that would have access to it, and it's only a few locations where you could get it. And I think this one would be exactly that.
Clint, our viewers are seeing the first live pictures from above Mar-a-Lago. These are from our station, WPTV, which is the West Palm Beach affiliate of NBC News. And as you can see, the West Cam operator is moving around the property, looking for any signs of someone being there. It would be highly unusual for anybody to be at this property in the middle of the summer, except for security and maintenance people and those sorts of folks, because it is not open. The club itself closes down for the summer. It is the reporting of NBC News that the former president himself is in New York City, potentially Trump Tower, though I'm not sure of that. But he's not at Bedminster, his club across the river in New Jersey. He's in New York City, and we can presume that that is the place from which he sent out his statement. But a cursory move of the camera around the property doesn't show, you know, vehicle after vehicle from the FBI. You know, you can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cars that you can see at least in that particular parking lot. And as the camera made its way all around the property itself, and now here's the waterfront at the property, and there are the tennis courts at the property, you don't see, you know, large groups of FBI agents. It's the reporting of the New York Times that this search at the property, what former President Trump calls a raid and siege at the property, was in the morning, and it would appear, I mean, I don't see anything personally going on here, and the West Cam operator has moved around the property as well. So it's entirely possible that whatever search happened there happened and is over, despite what the former president said in his statement at the end of the last hour. But it doesn't appear there's much, if anything, going on right now. If they did have specifics from the judge, which our legal guests have suggested and Clint Watts, former FBI, have suggested would be essential, specifics of the items for which they were searching, if they were documents, the documents that they wanted to retrieve, if the former president is accurate, getting into his safe to retrieve something, that sort of a process might not have taken too terribly long. And whatever it is they were searching for, they either found and took away or did not find and left the property. And the potential exists here just about 8 minutes before 8 o'clock in the Palm Beaches that whatever they did is done. Donald Ayer is with us again. Again, he was the attorney general in the George H.W. Bush White House. It's also stunning on many levels. I mean, maybe a lot of you weren't surprised that there would be a search carried out, but that there would be a search carried out that no one heard anything about in this very public place that is certainly closed for the summer, that it wouldn't leak until the former president sent out this long note on his own stationery, is to me fairly extraordinary and is just the beginning of reporting on whatever just happened and how it fits into a larger investigation, Donald.
Yeah, I actually surprised that there was no leak until Donald Trump, I guess, leaked it. Because I would expect that this is going to be the kind of an operation that is going to get the highest level of attention from the people at the very top of the department and the FBI. And the instructions, I'm sure, were very clear to do this very much by the book. Whatever it is, you know, whether we're just looking for a handful of boxes or whether we're looking for more than that, the idea that they appear to have done their job in a very discreet and careful way, you know, and I really don't know whether they were there for an hour and a half or whether they were there for 5 or 6 or 8 hours. I don't know
we don't
that
either.
There's a way to know that. But the bottom line is, I think it's great that they did whatever it was they had to do. They got a warrant and they did it, and they didn't leak it to the public. And that's a model of how they're supposed to operate. And now Donald Trump has decided he wants the world to know because he can play some public relations game with it, I guess he thinks. I don't know quite what the game is. But so anyway, I think it's a great thing that it was done, showing that they're serious about this case. And it's a great thing that it was done right. And it was done discreetly. And we're sitting here scratching our heads, not even knowing quite when it happened, because they came in and however many hours later left, and nobody knew anything about it until the object of the search decided to tell the world about it.
Yeah. You know, the Washington Post is out with new reporting that condenses, for lack of a better word, what we've been saying over the past 45 minutes to an hour, and that is such a move, a court-ordered search of the former president's property to look for possible evidence of a crime, is deeply unusual for a former president and represents a historic moment in Trump's tortured relationship with the Justice Department, as the thing just went away, both in and out of the White House. To take such a step, the Washington Post goes on, would require approval at the highest levels of the Justice Department. A department spokeswoman declined to comment when asked if Attorney General Merrick Garland approved that step. You would think he would have to.
Yeah, I would think it's very likely that he did. And I think you're the way you're describing this is the right way to think about it. You know, a search warrant for the home of anyone, and here the home of the former president, is a major, major step to take. And they're doing this because, as others have just been saying, that the investigation's at a point where it must be done. And they were able to persuade a judge, likely without much difficulty, that it needed to be done. And they're moving ahead and doing what they have to do, even though it's completely unheard of to have something like this happen.
And you don't get this unless the Department of Justice and the judge who signed off on, I mean, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the judge who signed off on this search warrant, you don't get this to this point unless the judge believed and the FBI believed there was the potential to find evidence of a crime in this search.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I guess we'll find out at some point what they found. Would you think that this, since you say this would be in the end stage of the investigation, you know, you'd try to get whatever information you can and not make a big public, you know, moment like this unless you had to.
There's been a lot of comment, you know, by a lot of people impatiently kind of tapping the table and wondering why the department isn't doing more. And that was going on at a time when people really didn't know quite what it was doing. But whatever it was doing, it wasn't doing it publicly, and it wasn't doing it in a way that was giving rise to media reports. So everybody assumed nothing was going on. Well, I don't know what was going on. But here, you know, they obviously knew that one way or another, even though they weren't going to publicize it, they knew that this was a story that was going to come out eventually. And here we have the president, former president himself, putting that story out. The fact that they've decided, in a sense, to go public, even though they're not making it public, but they're doing something that will become public, tells you that they are now focused, and they're not any longer in a position where it's practical to simply say, well, we don't really know if we're investigating. You know, they're not going to comment, but obviously you don't do this to someone's home unless they are an object and a subject of the investigation. So I think the investigation and the evidence has moved very far down the road. I also think, though, that it would be wrong to think that they're just getting the last pieces in place and we're going to see an indictment in the next few couple of weeks or something like that. I think putting a case together like this, of the moment of a case like this, is a very complicated thing. It's a lot more complicated than doing the wonderful job that the Select Committee has done in telling the story. It's got to be admissible evidence.
The hour has passed,
and that's something that could take time.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for your time at home tonight. The FBI has conducted a search at Mar-a-Lago. See you tomorrow. You've been listening to the CNBC podcast, The News with Shepard Smith. You can always catch us live weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on CNBC.